Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Breaking the gray.
The Rebel Scientist is back. On today's podcast, Sarah's going to talk about the body and mind connection in somatic bodywork. Here we go. All right, we are back. You know, my favorite time of day is when I get to talk to Sarah Turner. I feel like you and I need to have like some like sign-on that we do for every episode. Maybe we'll get to that in season two. But yeah. I'm so excited to talk to you. It's been way too long since we talked last. And last episode was a mind blower on remote healing. Today is a body blower on the body and mind connection and somatic body work. And there's some amazing stuff in here that you've uncorked for me. Let's start. In the heck is this? What is this topic today? What are we dealing with today?
So this is one of my favorite topics too, the mind-body connection. And we're also bringing in somatic body work as a way to kind of address some of these issues that we're going to talk about. And it's this whole concept that it's almost like your body speaks your mind and how, they're not two separate entities, your body and your mind. It's a total connected system. And how do you explore that to help with all these health issues?
Yeah, there's so much here. I have a history of this where my mind has controlled a lot of my body. We can go into it. Let's start. So what would be like the example, like the perfect example of this? Like what's something that we can just start with that people can associate with this?
Well, previously there was a lot of research into what was used to be called psychosomatic illnesses. So these are illnesses where they don't seem to have a physical cause, but people are ill and it's normally put down to something that's happened psychologically in the body. So a couple of recent examples, like I was saying to you earlier before we came online about this fabulous program we have here in England called Diagnosis Detectives, where they look for, they have people that have these very obscure illnesses and they can't get to the bottom of what's wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And so you have a group of experts and they then try to get to the bottom of it. And most of the time they can. But there is occasionally a time where there just doesn't seem to be any kind of physical cause for what's going on with someone. And an example of this was a lady who, she had blindness. She woke up one day and she was totally blind in one eye, and they did a whole raft of tests, could not find anything wrong with her brain, could not find anything wrong with the optic nerve, with the function of her eye. And in the end, it turned out that she had witnessed a horrible car crash a year before, and this was probably some kind of functional illness that was a result of her not being able to process that. Wow. And the treatment actually was not any kind of treatment for her eye condition. It was more therapy for her to be able to explore what went on then. And then gradually she started to gain recovery of sight in her eye.
Wow.
So that's an example of, like I say, it's called functional illness now. It's, and probably there's a big component of this in all illness. You know, like I say, we don't have these, we kind of categorize things because that's what humans do. You know, this is a mind problem, this is a body problem, this is a psychological problem. In effect, it's just a big system, and there's probably components of each in all health.
Yeah. And this is what, when people say, don't bring that into the universe, be careful what you think. This is exactly that. This must go back to the root of our brains and our physiological makeup. Around this sort of evolutionary thing we have for protecting ourselves, maybe.
Yeah, I think we've spoke about it before. You know, we need to recognize that we are mammals. You know, we are this animal that has, of course, our main mode, the main thing that we're all aiming for is survival, you know. And so there are various ways that we do that, and we use our bodies to do that. And so to come back and have that an awareness of, okay, what is our response to these situations from a mammalian point of view, for how our bodies are designed to respond, and how is that impacting our health?
And there's also the kind of physical things and the things that we're born with as human beings, but there's also the social part of that. Like we were talking about, you know, Eckhart Tolle calls this the pain body, and the fact that you as a child got attention for, you know, maybe you're the middle child and you were sick all the time because that's how you got attention from mom. That is a pain body that's carried with you, and you've now advanced that to a human adult body, and now you're getting more attention for it in different ways. I have to imagine here, you know, even going back to our last episode, maybe that idea of being present in yoga, breathing, things like that, that keep you present, might, you know, it keeps you out of the memory banks of kind of, you know, pulling up that pain body a little bit. And maybe that's helpful here.
Yeah, as much awareness as you can get is helpful. But I think a lot of this stuff is underneath our conscious awareness. So, of course, anything that brings awareness is good, like meditation. We're going to talk about somatic body works, which is exactly that, bringing your attention to your body, asking yourself these questions, you know, where might this come from? But like I say, the tricky part is a lot of it is underneath our consciousness, and maybe that is for a survival mechanism. But I think it's quite telling that for a lot of even illnesses that seem to have a straightforward etiology, like heart disease, that there is like a heart disease personality, for example. You know, people talk about this type A personality. People tend to have heart attacks who have this type A personality. They feel very driven. They feel like they need to be the best, probably from something in their childhood. The same for a cancer personality. People tend to feel like something has happened to them, and maybe they have a loss of control. So I think it's interesting that even with illnesses where you wouldn't think that perhaps there is this psychological component, that you can kind of put people in these broad categories of personality.
Yeah, I also mean, you know, there are things where we have addictions to, like drugs and alcohol. And I imagine this is also maybe part of an addictive personality, maybe.
Yes. Anything that gives, of course, we're addicted to anything that gives us pleasure. And as mammals, we have to work out, okay, what gives us pleasure? And of course, being part of the group, feeling accepted, you know, all of those things are going to trigger those basic pathways. And like I say, unless you have a very, very good understanding of your own body and awareness of what's going on and all of the different triggers, of course, sometimes it's not easy to work out what's going on. You know, sometimes this is a life's work to get to the bottom of these kind of programs that we have run. But like you say, there are definitely ways that you can improve that awareness, and I think mindfulness is one of those things.
I mean, the awareness part is, I mean, and I'm sure there's drugs that are taking you away from this, you know, that are taking you away from this awareness too, right?
Yeah, there's drug, definitely. I think anything that where you're numbing any kind of pain, or whether you're kind of trying to take a shortcut for your pain, or for anything that takes you out of being uncomfortable, you may be doing yourself a disservice in the long term, because I think, you know, a lot of things come out of discomfort. You know, and maybe it's about being more comfortable in your discomfort until you can find out what's going on, because you do sometimes need a challenge in order to grow.
Right.
But I mean, it of course works both ways. I mean, I also know a lot of people who are heavily into psychedelics now and have made some amazing discoveries about how psychedelics can actually help you get some awareness. So it depends, you know, if we're talking about drugs, it depends what you're trying to do. It always comes down to your intention. You know, are you intending to learn more of yourself and maybe push yourself through some uncomfortable things? Or are you just looking to block and numb and take a shortcut, which, you know?
Yeah, right. Right.
No such thing as a free lunch.
Well, let's go and let's go the other way. I remember watching this video a few years ago of this general in Vietnam who was having his leg amputated, and he had absolutely no drugs given to him. And he sat there stoic, no emotions whatsoever. And he went through a pretty awful surgery with absolutely no drugs. I mean, can you control your pain and your body's reaction to pain?
Well, yes, obviously you can if this general's done it, and there are yogis and people who are very trained in these things that can do it, and there are techniques you can learn. I think for most of us, you know, that's very difficult to learn on the spot, you know.
Yeah.
Because again, we need to think about survival. You know, this is how mammals survive. If you're in agonizing pain, you shout really loud to get other members of the tribe to come and help you, you know. So to override these ingrained processes, again, it's difficult. But maybe that's all part of the healing, you know, right. The shouting, the screaming, the pain, you know, that's part of it too. You know, the body needs to do that. You do need to release your trauma. And that takes me rather nicely to a friend of mine who does some trauma releasing exercises, because if you look at a wild animal that's in pain or trauma or something's happened, and a great example is to look at like a polar bear, you know, if a polar bear is under severe trauma, and you can look up some fabulous videos of this on YouTube, by the way, I've done that many times.
Yeah.
They will actually shake. They will actually, you know, make noise, but they will actually shake, and they will actually move the nervous system. And I think as humans, we're kind of, you know, certainly, you know, a big strong man doesn't, you know, do all of this, and you push it down and you kind of fight through, or, you know, even like women are told to be very stoic about these things sometimes. And actually that is part of the healing, you know, the shaking, the shouting, the screaming. If you miss out on those parts, you can potentially set yourself up further down the line, because the trauma stays in the body. And this is where you get this whole somatic component, because you can have it stay in your muscles, stay in your body. You never actually express it and release it. And then you can have these long-term chronic problems come up.
Yeah. I read something recently. It was like, well, you know, those that are introverts tend to get specific types of cancers than those that express themselves. I mean, you mentioned personality types, like an introvert, same thing. For you, you know, how did you get your awareness?
So I did a lot of these body works. I mean, I came at it from a very strange angle, actually, because I have been practicing a Kung Fu for a very long time, a Chinese martial art. I started out doing Wing Chun, but I've done Shaolin, I've done Qigong. I've done a lot of different Kung Fus, and Kung Fus teach you very much about being in your body and about how your body moves and about how you experience pain, how you can deal with pain, how you can shake pain off, how you can activate the body in certain ways. So that was my experience in my 20s of kind of going through that training. And then that brought me into a lot of these different body works, which I'm totally into. I'm totally into this concept, because sometimes it's very difficult cerebrally to access this information. But if you can go into the body, you know, that's a very different way. You know, you can kind of experience pain, or you can find out what's going on in your body without having to necessarily put a name on it or try and work it out. So yeah, that was, and then I've done a lot of these different therapies. I've done training in things like trauma release therapy, where you kind of get the body to go into this kind of state and shake out what's going on.
Yeah.
A lot of breath work and things like that. Again, it's using what you've got with the body to try and go through these things without necessarily going through it psychologically. You know, it's a different way of having that therapy. You can kind of try and work it out mentally, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, if you do the body work, if you're mindful, if you do this breath work, you know, it's another way of tackling it.
Yeah, you know, a few episodes ago, we talked about the gut-brain connection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, literally you are what you eat, right? And and then, you know, here it's really you are what you think. But I'm the fact that you can create these things, you know, not consciously, and you're doing it to yourself all the time. I've got to imagine there's some very extreme examples of this as well. That there's probably some studies that talk about kind of the extreme nature of it, where if you don't know why it happens, like maybe a trauma where it's blocked and some of these things happen to you. I got to imagine there's some very peculiar and extreme examples of this.
Yes, and I think that the more extreme the trauma that you've gone through, the more possibly you try to suppress some of these things. And I definitely think there's some awful things, you know, soldiers who've seen some terrible things and then end up, have full-on epilepsy and things like that, where their bodies just cannot compute, you know, the awful things that they've seen. And so then you have this illness that's manifest, that's a reflection of that without the physical component. And of course, like I say, it is a whole system. So the more that you experience this, then it becomes a physical problem. So yeah, I think there is some, yes, I'm sure there's some very extreme examples. Actually, there's another fabulous book that I'll recommend, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, Oliver Sacks, where he talks about people who have...
Oh, yes.
Have you read that? That's a very interesting
book. Oh, yeah. I love Oliver Sacks. I was so sad he passed away a few years ago. Yeah.
He talks a lot about how stress can manifest in different ways if it's not processed properly. And so, like you say, sometimes very unusual and bizarre ways. Right. If we don't pay attention to kind of what's going on with our psychology, you know, it will manifest and potentially can have all kinds of ramifications for physical health.
Yeah. I have a personal example of this where I mentioned a few times I'm a cancer survivor. I was 21 when I got cancer, and the person that I was with said to me, "Whatever you do, if we're dating, please don't get cancer." And I was a very healthy person, and within 7 months I got cancer. And I have no idea. I've gone through a lot of therapy about this, but I truly do believe that I did give myself cancer. And I think, you know, it sounds crazy to think to say it out loud, but it was never part of my psyche to think that, right? That right. I'm going to get cancer. And I did within 7 months, I had cancer. And the mind is such a powerful, powerful thing in what you can control, but what you can't control. You and I talked about the German doctor. I'd like to talk about that a little bit as well and get into some of his studies and where he is right now.
Dr. Hamer,
yeah.
Again, what we are talking about there is kind of an expression of you're thinking something and then it manifests in your body. You know, that's that kind of mind-body connection. And there are a lot of theories that have been built up around it. You know, Louise Hay is famous for writing a book where she kind of very simplistically kind of went through, okay, you know, if you've got a problem with your knees, you're not being humble. You got a problem with your ears, it's something you don't want to hear, you know, and sometimes that's useful. And a doctor in Germany, Dr. Hamer, he had a very interesting theory too, which was based again on mammalian biology. So I think there's some credence to it, which was about having some kind of shock that you just cannot bear to deal with. Something happens to you, some traumatic event. And the example is that he lost his own son, unfortunately, and then developed testicular cancer. And then he went on to do a study to look at, okay, do certain illnesses go with specific shocks? And his conclusion was, yes, it was. You know, if you lose a child, then, you know, the people predominantly get issues in their reproductive organs as a result of that. Or women get breast cancer because his theory was that you're producing cells in that area to make up for the deficiency of your perceived loss or trauma, but then it kind of goes haywire because you never have a resolution. I mean, actually, interestingly, I think Dr. Hamer is still in prison for this, practicing this kind of medicine. Wow. Because it goes against. However, some of the theories are very interesting and it has been taken on, and there are a lot of groups, not necessarily now joined up to his specific teaching, but taking on those theories.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we'll get practical in one sec. I think that there's this there's this concept that, I mean, could you flip it and become a superhuman, right? Where you do damage to yourself because of this trauma and that connection. But then the other way around is, maybe you can become superhuman.
Well, a good example of that is someone like Wim Hof. He's one of my superheroes. Mm-hmm. And he definitely is into the whole somatic bodywork thing. Now, he has actually shown, he's gone to be studied at a research hospital in the Netherlands, where he's actually gained control of his own autonomic nervous system by really focusing on his body, focusing on his breath. He does kind of, his big thing is extreme cold. He's the Iceman, and he subjects his body to extreme cold, but as part of showing that we have a lot more control over our physiology than we actually believe. And actually, they're having to redefine the textbooks of calling it the autonomic nervous system, because he showed that you can actually have control over it. So, yes, he's someone who I definitely say is a good person to look at if you want to think, OK, you know, that we can do so much more than we think. It's just a case of, you know, believing in yourself and going through this and testing your limits.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and in that same vein, you have extreme athletes, you have super marathon runners.
Yes.
You know, those are all people that have probably a very clear connection between their mind and their body. When your body says give up, they know how to continue to push on. It's fascinating. I think we've kind of gone to both extremes. Let's bring it back to kind of the practical nature of it and talk a little bit about, you know, what can we do as people to become more aware? You know, you're shining a light on the fact that this exists now and these two things are connected. Now, what can people do to kind of become more aware about, you know, figuring this out for themselves?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to kind of be aware that there is this body-mind connection. I mean, I even thought about calling it the MODI or something at some point to kind of reiterate that it's one system. You know, we should stop kind of differentiating. And so the main things you can do is like anything you can do to increase awareness of what's going on in your body. So we've talked about a lot of these somatic techniques, and there's techniques you can do yourself. Like there's Feldenkrais, which is this fabulous movement technique, which puts you much more in touch with your body. That's something that I did start to practice, and I had some amazing experiences with that. Mm. Just very simple, like eye exercises, and I found I could totally see things like in a different way from doing it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, these are very simple techniques you can do. There are things that you can actually also go and have done with a therapist. There's Rolfing, which is like a very deep tissue massage, which gets into the fascia connections of your body and releases some of these tensions and things. And that can have profound effects. And if you think about, you know, how we react to stress, we have a muscle that kind of connects our hips and our legs called the psoas muscle. And if something happens, you know, if you have a shock, you pull up into a ball, don't you? You know, if you go into some kind of, something happens. Yeah. If your body constantly thinks it's in trauma, you're constantly trying to pull up into a ball. So having an awareness of, okay, what is your posture like? How are you sitting? How relaxed are you day to day? What can you do to kind of increase your flexibility? All of those things are, I think, will have actually a very profound effect on health. Having more awareness of your body and getting into your body and doing things which put your body into a more relaxed state when you're not in action.
I literally shifted in my chair when you said that. So
yes, I know, me too. I tried to sit
I'm up like,
and
yeah.
myself then. Yes.
It's having a friend like you that can, you know, help us shine a light on this too, which is helpful. I have to imagine as a scientist, this probably challenges your notion around illness and maybe even your approach to illness.
Well, no, I think a lot. I think that I'm much more comfortable with this than I am with, you know, our previous topic of remote healing, because this is measurable. You know, this is measurable, and this is something which has, from my point of view, very sound evolutionary biology foundation. It makes perfect sense, and you can exactly see, okay, this is how the body works. Sometimes it's just simple body mechanics, it's psychology, it's understanding how it's one integrated system, and that we need to think about these systems, how they integrate, not separate out, not separate your psychology from your body, from your physical. So from a scientific point of view, no, this is, I'm totally with all of this, and I can definitely, you know, pick out these things and find mechanisms for, I mean, maybe it takes away some of the magic of it, you know, to look at it from this point of view. And I know there are a lot of people who, you know, something like yoga is a very spiritual practice, and that, you know, that's taking it to another level. And we haven't even brought in spirituality as one of the things to look at.
Right.
But again, that's a very human aspect. And should we even be separating that out, mind, body, spirit, as one connected system?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know during meditation, I mean, one of the things that you do to kind of get yourself into the awareness mode is to focus on each of your body parts, right? Working from your head down to your toes. And it does get you focused on the places where you have pain in your body. And then all of a sudden that pain kind of goes away when you're focusing on it. It's almost like you shine a light on it. It's like, oh yeah, I was just kidding. It's not really a cramp in your leg. You're fine. And with things like a cold and, you know, we have a virus that's spreading everywhere. I've got to imagine people are having these kind of functional symptoms as well, right? Like there's, you know, I have a friend of mine who is like, oh, I have a fever and I lost all taste. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you probably have COVID. And you should get tested. And, you know, 2 days later, they don't have COVID. But and it's also like students that are becoming, you know, medical students get this as well, right? And that as they're studying these things, they get these random illnesses that they've read about in a book.
Yeah. Yes. And this is where, again, it's awareness. It always comes down to that awareness. You know, what are you thinking around some of these things? You know, what is your attitude? You know, does your posture change? You know, when you hear about something, you know, when you hear about COVID, do you kind of pull up? Does your psoas muscle pull? Do you do all those things? Because that's going to have a direct impact on how your body then deals with things that's coming in from the environment.
Yeah. So you're physically changing your reaction. I mean, you're physically noticing it, but because you're aware that you do that, that's how you can change your reaction to it. Are there things you can do that maybe some hacks to train yourself to react to these things differently, maybe?
Yeah, and I think a lot of what these movement therapies and things get you to do. I mean, it's very difficult if your body is very stiff and you're not actually aware of what's going in your body to make the adjustments, you know, and we live in a world of tech also. I mean, there's lots of tech tools you can also embrace that help you with that. There's all different kinds of things. Like I've seen little haptic feedback things that buzz when you collapse your ribcage. So, you know, so you're always aware, okay, I need to sit up and expand my ribcage because this little device is telling me, you know, these things that we've been talking about are more low tech, simple things, but there is now a huge array of high-tech things you can also do. You know, you can wear a device that monitors your brainwaves that tells you whether or not, you know, you're actively thinking about something or whether you're daydreaming and gives you some feedback on that. I mean, that's something that we, you know, again, it's another topic for another episode, but how can you get awareness? What are the simple things you can do? What, you know, when do you need to up a gear and switch to some of these more high tech solutions?
Yeah. There's, you know, this all goes back to what you've been saying. It's about balance, right? And it's about creating that balance within yourself and going one, you know, too far to the left or too far to the right, but staying balanced. I think it's, understanding this is so important, and there are so many people in my life, and I'm sure in yours as well, that go to the doctors a lot because they're sick all the time. And this is, you know, this is the first path of it. I think being aware is so important. Being present is so important. And this is yet another fascinating topic. I think, again, we'll have links up on our Breaking the Gray website. And please, read them, take care of yourself. This is staying both mentally and physically healthy. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Russ. It was great.
Yeah, we have another amazing topic next week. We're going to be talking about time and our bodies and chronobiology.
Yes.
Reversing aging, right? No, I'm kidding.
Potentially, but it's also about, again, we're part of our environment. So we've just talked about how you can't really separate mind, body and spirit, but you also can't really separate your environment from what's going on either. And time is a big part of that. You know, again, we're what's the effect of day and night? What's the effect? What are different organs doing at different times? And how does that have an effect on our health? So it's another cool topic.
Wonderful. Thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you.
Yes. See you soon, Russ.
Okay. Bye. The Rebel Scientist Podcast is a Breaking the Gray production, created by Russ Eisenman and Paul Wood, hosted by Sarah Turner. Music and sound editing by Logan Shea. For more information and other fantastic podcasts, visit breakingthegray.com. That's gray with an E, breakingthegray.com.
Breaking the Gray.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.